Magical Mara Designs is proud to sponsor this episode of the Dub D Dub Review podcast. Whether you are looking for cute, comfortable mini ears or Disney-inspired face masks, we've got you covered at MagicalMaraDesigns.com.
Hello, welcome to the Dub D Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a guest co-host today, Chris Young. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Chris?
Doing really good. I've made a resolution for the rest of this year. I'm only going to have guests on with the name Chris. That's it. It's
going to make things simple, isn't it?
Chris Young, Chris Salata. I mean, Chris Hemsworth. I'm getting all the Chris's. We're all going to be on. So
there we go.
Chris, you know, this is a really cool day, and I tell you why. First off, we got a cool show. It's a trip report from you, and you've got a length of stay here, which is, like, awesome, like, ridiculously astounding here, but today is the second to last day of February. You know what tomorrow is, by any chance? Just as a casual sports fan guy, you know what tomorrow is?
In addition to the last day of February, let's see, is everybody reporting at spring training tomorrow?
Isn't it awesome? The first games go live in spring training.
Yeah.
That is like, you could have the birds chirping, you could have the sun shining, and thank gosh, if you live north like us, when the sun comes out and it's 40 degrees, it's like, take my shirt off, you know, go outside your yard. But spring training games, when they go live, that's so nice. So anyways, is your team the Royals?
It is. It is. And it has been since I was, you know, as young as I can remember.
Okay. So, do you cheer at all for the Cardinals, or is it just like, no?
There's some cross-state rivalry there, and we won't get into all the nasty details. But 1985 and that World Series where there was a call at first base in Game 6 really has set the Cardinals fans on edge, and they still don't acknowledge the victory of the Royals. So we just kind of, you know, there's some shade that goes back and forth, but you know, quietly I'll root for them as I watch them on TV, but I don't really want to tell anybody else.
All right, Chris, this is where the conversation is going to turn nasty then, because my favorite player was growing up was Jack Clark, first baseman for the Cardinals.
Sure.
And I have a
Giants.
Exactly. Red Sox, Padres, Yankees, but Cardinals. I have a baseball card collection of Jack Clark. I think I might be in the top 1% of the country in terms of overall cards collected. So if anyone can get me I've got autographs. I've got everything. He was the premier slugger. I mean, he was the guy who provided the offense for the team. Vince Coleman and Ozzie Smith and Willie McGee, Tommy Herr, but Jack Clark hit the homers. So I'm
a card collector too, and so yeah, I've got the Ozzie Smith auto and Bob Gibson, and I gave a good friend of mine last year who's a like incredibly big Cardinals fan, Stan Musial auto card.
Wow.
So that was fun because he's going to get, you know, a lot more enjoyment out of it than I will. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So anyways, our baseball talk for today, but you know what, like we said, spring comes around, we're talking baseball, we're talking Disney, and it's getting warmer outside with the sunshine. This is a good day.
It's a great day.
All right, brother, let's talk about your trip here. So you have a trip report. You took a very long vacation, but what makes it really interesting was you had a split DVC stay. You met some friends with no kids. So let's get right into it.
Sure. So yeah, we went in November last year, November 2020, from like the 9th through the 21st. So it was 13 days and 12 nights. And we'd originally thought about having a solid 2 weeks. And we were just going to say, you know, we've never done something like that. I think we've gone 8 days, 7 nights a couple times. But this was going to be let's really go all out. And the timing of it, the availability of the rooms when we wanted, some other things kind of made a step back a couple days in terms of nights of stay. We also took a quick trip down in September and spent time at Vero Beach and like one night at the B Resort that's there on property.
Yeah.
So we ended up with this split stay. We spent 5 nights at the Poly while it was under renovation in a studio, a Lakeview studio. Then we went to the Boardwalk and we had one bedroom for 4 nights. And it was at that point that we met up with a friend who came down to visit with us. And then we finished up with a Lakeview at Bay Lake Tower. So we had 3 nights there, and that was a pretty neat view.
Knocked out all the heavy hitters, you know.
that's an advantage of DVC. Like, these are places that we couldn't stay if we were trying to pay, you know,
for sure
rack rate kind of for these places. So
where do you own it, Chris?
This time around, I own it, Old Key West. We first purchased back in 2002. And, you know, there's been a lot of life and financial hardships around the country between here and there. Mm-hmm. So, but we first purchased, direct from, at Beach Club.
Okay.
And I don't remember how many points we had, but I remember we bought more right away because we realized that wasn't going to be enough, but we sold that when we needed to. And, then we purchased again direct from, Grand Floridian when it was new.
Okay.
And it was a little after that that I said, you know what, those points were really expensive in comparison with resale. And then not only are the points expensive, but if you want to stay at your home resort, that's a home resort that has high point values to those room nights.
Yeah, it's an either.
So it kind of doubles up the pain of that reservation. So sold that, bought resale a couple of years ago, under $80 a point at Old Key West.
Nice.
And so we've got a couple hundred, a little over that.
Okay. And, is this a 2042 contract or?
It is. Okay. It is. And, you know, I've kind of toyed around with that. So far, we haven't seen the decrease in the value of the 2042. You know, eventually that'll come. But I'm looking and calculating my age in 2042 and saying, you know, we've got a couple daughters, but they're holding their own with their, you know, mm-hmm. education and career. So when they get to that point, if they want to take that on, they can figure out what's available at the time. So.
Nice. I should probably explain 2042 is the expiration date of the original contracts for Old Key West. And they did, when they got closer to that, they said, hey, the resort's holding up well. We just put some money into it. We're going to offer a 15-year extension. You could buy in for a little bit extra for this 15-year extension. So that's what 2042 is. Funny you say that, because we sold a contract for Saratoga and we still have one at Saratoga. And when we bought in, we were like, oh man, that expiration date is so far off for Saratoga. Like, and then as you start looking at the calendar, you're like, dang, it's not as far as I thought it was. Or,
right.
You know, the days go by slow, but the years go by so fast, you look at it. So I completely get it. Interesting resort choices here, because I will say, and maybe you could confirm this, that during a regular non-COVID year, owning at Old Key West, I don't know if you get those nights at Boardwalk, Poly, and Bay Lake but it was during the pandemic, so demand has been lower. What do you think about that?
I think it's about how persistent you are, honestly, We took a nice size trip in 2018.
Okay.
And that included the Boardwalk with a Boardwalk view. And that included Bay Lake Tower with a theme park view.
Nice. Okay.
So but you have to be really persistent and you have to, contact DVC to get kind of on that wait list, but also watch every day and, mm-hmm. and, you know, be ready to grab something. So, we haven't had issues, honestly.
Okay. And I should say too, it's probably considered a lower time. It's not quite Thanksgiving. It's not quite the possibility exists, but fantastic. Okay. So just general observations, You got Poly, you got Boardwalk, and you got Bay Lake, and you had the least time at Bay Lake. But which resort rank them in terms of after your experiences? Because, I mean, they all offer something a little different, you know, and Bay Lake being the most stripped down, it's a bad word, but you know what I'm saying, but closest, you know, and Boardwalk, they're all close. They're all headliners, but give me your ranking right there.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I like deciding who, what's your favorite child.
Right.
I suppose that in the long term, if I was going to, if I had to pick one of these and I was going to stay there each and every trip and okay. that couldn't stay anywhere else, probably I would stay at the Boardwalk. And that's because of our kind of love of Epcot and just mm-hmm. the location. For theming, I would probably pick the Poly of those three.
Okay.
And for view and actually just like the room itself, I pick Bay Lake Tower. We love the layout. So,
and the convenience factor, if Magic Kingdom's on your itinerary,
for sure.
Like I'm so jealous whenever I go and, you know, eat at Chef Mickey's or the Wave. And I think these people could literally roll out of bed and be at the gate in 4 minutes, 6 minutes, you know? So,
and the first time we stayed there and we had that theme park view, I don't know. We considered maybe just staying up all night and watching all night, you know, and then having to sleep through the day because the night view is so great.
Beautiful. Just gorgeous. Yeah. Okay. So, can I ask you this much? The stay in the middle of November, it's a unique stay. Your work had flexibility, or you had a built-in like work. Because this is an unusual time to go on vacation for that
right.
of time.
Well, we've got two daughters, one that actually just got out of college this past summer, one that's in college, and so our schedule didn't involve them. So that was one thing. The October, November timeframe is, you know, it's cooled down a bit. The crowds are a little less. The point values are you've got more value for your point in terms of DVC stays. My wife taught when we first got married. We spent, you know, the first 5-6 years with her teaching, and she decided to, well, she actually ended up working with me for a while, and she's not in teaching anymore. And one of the reasons that she left was the flexibility of summer vacations. And specifically, did she want to be limited to basically going to Disney World in the heat of the, you know,
every teacher raises their hands and said, hear you. Preach,
right.
You know,
so that was really, that was truly a factor in her decision to leave teaching. That's crazy, but
no, it's not crazy. It's not, because teaching is a calling. I believe it. I believe it's a vocation, but you know me, I know you and the rest of the people that are listening, going to Walt Disney World, that's like part of the fiber of who you are. So it's funny to think about that. You have like 2 or 3 weeks a year, you go on vacation and you're like, well, of course I'm going to Central Florida. Just not a question. And like you start building the rest of your year off those 2 or 3 weeks, you know? So I completely get it. I understand.
You get up every morning and you know how far it is
before you're going
to get on the plane and land in Orlando.
Okay. So give me through your itinerary here. Did you spend every day here? Because you're talking 13 days. Did you spend every one of them? Was it park? Was it low key? What was the intent of this vacation?
Well, the intent when we booked the vacation was, as we try to always do, to book this with at least one other vacation within a 12-month period of time so that we could go get an annual pass and use that annual pass across multiple vacations. That's typically what we do. Instead of taking one vacation every year, we may take 2 or 3 in 1 year, use the points up from several, and then maybe wait a year or 18 months and then take a cluster of vacations again. It just is more cost effective. We couldn't do that this year because of the policy changes that Disney had implemented due to COVID. No annual passes available. And so then we went to the, well, what's the longest ticket purchase that we can make. And at least domestically, the longest ticket plan is a 10-day plan.
10 days. So I was aware of that. And once you get past, if you're listening right now, clarify this too. Disney isn't selling annual passes. If you have an annual pass, they'll extend your annual pass. You can renew it. But if you're on the, I don't want to say outside, but like Chris and Chris here, we don't have APs. You want to buy APs? I'm sorry, sir. We're not selling, we're not offering new APs right now as a crowd control measure at this point until they can figure out capacities and whatnot. So understood. And the 10-day pass, I should probably not steal your thunder. Once you buy like the 4-day pass, getting to the 5th day requires just a little bit extra. And once you're at like the 8th day, getting to the 9th day and 10th day, it's like we're talking like
$5, $10, a couple bucks. Yeah, so, exactly.
Okay.
So we took the 10 day, and essentially what we did, we arrived on a Saturday, I think. We arrived on a Monday, and then we left 2 Saturdays afterwards. So that arrival day, we didn't go to the parks. The next day, we didn't go to the parks. We spent 10 solid days going into parks. And then on our departure day, we didn't leave until I think a little after eight at night. So we spent time in resorts. So yeah, we had a pretty solid, set of 10 days there straight.
Wow. So eased into the vacation for the first 2 days. So you're at the Poly. You're just, you've got the best part of the trip coming up. What did you fill the first 2 days with then? Can I ask?
Because yeah. So a lot was just spending some time at the resort. One of the big challenges we have, Chris, I don't know if you do, but it's really just like finding a way to relax and take advantage of the resort. And even this trip, we didn't really do that well, right? Mm. We had three resorts and we enjoyed the lobby and the room and, you know, maybe some of the amenities around, like, you know, restaurants nearby or whatever. But we just, it's hard to take advantage. So we'd never stayed at the Poly before. So we spent time kind of, you know, wandering in and out and checking things out. And then the second day, I think we spent in Disney Springs. So okay. Yeah, so it was just like you say, we kind of eased our way in. Plenty of stress getting ready for a 2 week vacation, which I don't remember the last time I had a vacation that long. Maybe I never had a vacation that long. I'm not sure.
Gotcha.
So plenty of stress getting ready and getting down there, and so then it was decompression time.
Nice.
Yeah.
The vacation though at the Poly, did it meet your expectations? I mean, in your mind, you probably had this bar. Did it meet it? Did it exceed it? Did it come below it?
It certainly met our expectations that we had by the time we sat down in the plane to leave, right? Now, when we booked it in December of 2019,
okay,
we had a different expectation about what our stay at the Poly was going to be like. And that included, oh, this is going to be super convenient because the monorail comes right in there. But with the renovation, the monorail line being down, not stopping there, that changed some things. Right. But we had reset it. Our mind was reset. We are not in the first place. We're not like the commando park goers or the, we have a list of things that if these don't happen, it's going to ruin our vacation.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah, it was, we've certainly been in the Polynesian, you know, the main building, multiple times and eaten there at Kona and such, but we really hadn't had the opportunity to kind of poke around in the crannies. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You booked this though in December. So you booked this out pre-COVID at this point.
We did. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and kind of just, we held our cards and said, well, we don't know what we're going to do. We'll just keep watching. And really it was that September trip where we went to Vero. We saw, even though it wasn't on Disney World property, we saw how they handled everything at the resort, the cleanliness and the social distancing and such. And then we got to the B resort, spent some, you know, one or two nights there, went over to Disney Springs. We didn't, this was September again. So we didn't go into the parks during that stay, but we just had enough of an experience there that we could see how Disney was doing things and we felt comfortable with it. And it wasn't just how Disney was doing things. It was about how the vacationers were kind of cooperating as well. Right. And it just made us feel confident. And honestly, I would say that if I look at 13 days in Walt Disney World, I think I had less exposure, we'll say, than 30 minutes in the Walmart in my town.
And then at the Price Chopper over by you, for sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Chris, I've been on property 6 times, separate occasions, since September. And I can tell you, honestly, you're exactly right. I've been at a Home Depot in my hometown, and I'm like, what are you doing over there? And like on Walt Disney World property, it was like, yeah, the word compliant sounds like it has a negative connotation, but everyone's like, we know, everyone's aware, we're going to go home safe. And you know what? You're going to go home safe too, because we're going to take care of each other.
It was interesting. I think when you've got that kind of when you've got that investment in terms of the price, and you understand that you really do have to follow the rules, and Disney's being good about enforcing them. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I decided to be here. I'm going to play along with the rules. Where I noticed a little bit of difference was Disney Springs, which I think is because you don't have to pay to get in, so you don't have as much skin in the game. And then, strangely, Epcot. That was the only place that I saw like some real kind of like negative pushback, and even some masks that had, you know, messages on them that were intended to convey their disappointment or their, you know, displeasure that they were having to wear the mask. And I don't know if that's because, you know, people are a little more loose and they're going to go and maybe drink or something. Yeah, I don't know.
There must be a cause effect for that.
It did seem like there was a real distinct difference to me in our, you know, it was just anecdotal, but a distinct difference between what we saw everywhere else and then Epcot to a small degree and Disney Springs.
You know what? And I can't disagree with you, but again, people are in charge of their own persons. So you as an individual aren't required to stand next to that dude at the Disney Springs or at Epcot. Right. And you know, you're going to find knuckleheads in every state, in every place you go. Yeah. But as a whole, I felt comfortable in that environment.
And I'm sure
you did well. All right. So let's get past the first day. Cause again, Polly's not been really high on the list because they only got really, I mean, you either stay at the, you know, the studio, which is really hard to get, or you have to upgrade, you know, pretty steeply there to get to a, what, 2-bedroom or a bungalow. Oh,
I think it goes straight from the studio to the bungalow.
So yeah, you're either the pauper or you're the prince, and there's no in between, you know.
Exactly.
So, and of course, no one's saying the pauper at the pot, but you know, example.
No, yeah, and that's true. The nice thing was that you were there by yourself. I mean, there weren't that many people that you were fending for at the, you know, at the quick service. Or
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Polynesians gift shop always makes me crack up with the hidden tikis and like the tikis in pose. So they got a great gift shop at the Poly.
They really do.
Your experience at the Springs. Give me something you've never done before that you experienced at the Springs.
Oh my gosh. I'm not sure we did anything that we'd never done before. I think we were just, I'll tell you one thing we did. We way overspent on Christmas ornaments.
We all do.
They've got this deal. They charge you this ridiculous amount per ornament, but they say, but if you buy three, we give you $5. We'll give you $5 off each one,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so we were there in September and we bought three. It was like, oh, we're buying three. And then we got there this time and we bought three and we were heading to the checkout stand and we were like, but we wanted six. So then we've got six ornaments in addition to everything else. And, you know, those take up some space and you got to be kind of gentle with those. So we started wondering exactly what the trip back was going to look like. You know,
Chris, what was DVC discount at that point? Was it 20% or 30%?
It was. And I'll tell you, I keep hearing people talking about, you know, because again, we're not a direct, we haven't purchased direct. So I keep hearing people talk about this, but literally they'll ask you, do you have DVC? You say, yes. I show them the DVC membership on my phone because you can go into the app and it will show your DVC membership. And, you know, they have never asked me, are you a direct purchaser? Just, do you have DVC? And it was 20%.
Okay. So, it's up to 30% right now. So
that's what I've heard. Yeah.
And it's for everything.
A short period of time, right?
Pandora beads, 30%. Yeah. you know, wow. Anything you want is 30%. I mean, yeah, you say, wow, but it gets me to spend the money. You know, my wife, she left and she was looking at this Pandora bead and she got this Pandora bracelet and it's superfluous. It's a luxury. I know that. And then when she left back home to come back and do her teaching job.
Right.
I ended up being in the Disney Springs area. And I was like, you know, I'm gonna go and surprise her because her birthday was just a few days ago. And it's so hard not to when it's 30%. Like right. it warps your perception of what's good and what's not in terms of spending. So I completely get it. Yeah, those ornaments, what's up with that? Like every ornament I want there and I missed out. They had, when you walk in, they have the live scene. They have like there's a little like vignette of like Small World and they have one of like the fire station. They had one of the Tower of Terror and I missed it. I missed it. I completely, and it was a well detailed, like 1/64th scale miniature of like, I missed it. And like every time I walk in there, I'm like, this is the worst. I have to just go find that on eBay now, overpriced. I know this, but.
And you know better than anybody that if you see it at Walt Disney World, you better grab it while you see it.
That's exactly right. All right. So first trip, you're at the park. You're at Magic Kingdom. Is that your first park? Cause it's right there or no?
No. No.
Okay.
So we've kind of got a tradition that Epcot's our first park. And it was from the outset. And when we took our girls when they were little, it was their first park. And guess what? If your kids haven't seen the Magic Kingdom yet, Epcot is amazing, right? Okay. Little kids see Epcot. And it's like, these are cool things. Little kids see Magic Kingdom first. They see a castle first. Then that next day at Epcot, it's like, where's the castle? So
you're right.
Yeah. So we started with the Magic, with the Epcot first. And honestly, you know, we were there for the Food and Wine Festival during the Food and Wine Festival as it was winding down. And so, you know, we factored several Epcot days into our stay. Yeah. So Epcot, just a lot of snacking around the World Showcase. One thing that we did in this trip, maybe to a fault, is we made sure to book our dining reservations and we really didn't give ourselves a break. And I wish we would have, we should have had fewer dining reservations. I think that night was Rose and Crown, but I mean, I just wrote down, we went to Kona, Olivia's, Rose and Crown, Liberty Tree, Trattoria Al Forno, Skipper Canteen, Beer Garden, 50s Prime Time, Wine Bar George, Boathouse, Be Our Guest, and Garden Grill in this trip.
Wow.
And you know what? That was like, it was great. And then it was like, man, we needed some time where it was like, you know what? This evening, let's not eat.
You know, I need a peanut butter and jelly, dang it. You know?
Something. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we had one table service meal every day.
Okay.
But it turned out we probably didn't need to do that, especially over the course of 2 weeks. I still lost weight, which is crazy.
Isn't it crazy? In Florida, you do that. I don't know. And people talk about that. But when you're putting on 10 miles a day, you know what, you're gonna hold even at the very worst, you know? So this is probably a good time for actually me to talk about this. You are also a travel agent. So this is not like a travel agent show, but based on your experience at these places, you know, Magical Vacation Planner, and people can find you. So, but like, yeah, you had an experience. Were any of these new, Chris, these restaurants new?
Yeah, several were. At least a couple were, let's see. We had not been to Olivia's, even though that's our home resort. We just haven't spent time at our home resort. Okay. So going to Olivia's there at Old Key West was nice. It's a very, you know, it's a really casual kind of atmosphere. The serving staff is happy to talk with you, and it wasn't that crowded. Again, during these times, just not as crowded as it might be otherwise. Wine Bar George. So I think really it was just those two. Wine Bar George was the other we hadn't been at, and it has shot to the top, not the top, but toward the top of our favorite restaurants.
Wow.
And this,
people have said that about Wine Bar George.
And this is from a guy who has an allergy to sulfites. So I can't drink beer. Okay. I can't have wine. I can have the harder thing. So if you want to get me, you know, Christmas present, then it's going to be something. So the wine was not the call for me.
Wow.
But it was, the food, we had a charcuterie board. I can't remember what all we had, but it was just everything that we had was outstanding. Outstanding.
Tell me about Olivia's too, because I've been to Olivia's a couple times. It's a favorite of mine because it's not elitist, but if you're not a DVC member, you're probably not doing a lot of resort hopping. Right. So you don't got to compete with just a casual Walt Disney World guest. And, you know, with Old Key West, you don't end up there casually. You have to intend to go to Old Key West. So as far as getting reservation, usually Olivia's is to be gotten. And whenever we go there, we're always like, that was a good meal, you know? So we're always impressed with it. What did you think? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
It was good. It was good food. My wife, Ann, had scallops. And they were, according to her, cooked to perfection. Nice. And then I had the Duval burger. And I told you my memory is like this long. So I had the Duval burger, and I can't tell you anything about it other than I remember walking out having enjoyed it. So
okay, that's good enough for me. You know, I'll accept it. It's always so laid back. I think some of the, like when you say Wine Bar George and anything at Disney Springs, there's always like, maybe it's me, I have this little bit of like anxiety that grows in my stomach because I know it's going to be busy. I know it is. I just know it's going to be busy. When you walk in on the boulevard that has the Edison and whatnot, it's always crowded. And I'm always like, I tend to be kind of, I don't want to say antisocial, but I tend to avoid crowds. So like Olivia's is like, hey, this is nice and quiet off the beaten path. I love it. You know? So anyways, that's why it appeals to me is right. you have to want to go there. So yeah. Anyways, good point about Epcot though. You show the kids the #1 tourist destination in the country that has every character they follow on TV and a castle and rides and attractions and things that a four-year-old can do. And by the way, let's go to Epcot the next day where it's all learning, you know, and whatnot. And I know you're going to see Nemo and I know you're going to see hydroponics, but trust me, Morocco is cool, kids. I guarantee it, you know.
Exactly.
So, great point. Okay. So Epcot's done. Was Magic Kingdom one of the parks that you experienced? I mean, you went for 10 days, so I'm assuming you did Magic Kingdom at least twice.
I think three times once I go through my list. But yeah, we went. We didn't get there till Friday that first week. So we were at the Magic Kingdom. We were at Epcot, and then we were at Hollywood Studios, and then we got to the Magic Kingdom. And that was the last day that just the two of us were there. And so the main attraction for this vacation was not the attractions. It was just the time together and, you know, just relaxing and kind of, it was a reset for us. It was a 13-day reset. So we definitely did those attractions, and you won't get me into the Magic Kingdom without going through the Haunted Mansion at least once. You know, there's favorites that we have. But it was just a day of kind of getting back home, you know, like that was the approach we took. It was like, we're back.
And with 10 days, you don't got to kill it. You don't got to spend 11 hours or 12 hours in a park. And like, you could very well miss some of the attractions you intended on seeing and being like, I got you covered. I'll come back on Monday. You know, I got you covered. So I love that. I love that style.
And though we've been there a lot, there were still things that we've never done before. And so nice. Things that, you know, probably make me sound like a newbie, but we've never gone to Gaston's Tavern and had LeFou's brew and had the big cinnamon roll. So we did that. And I would have remembered. I've heard that you can ask for more icing, and I wish I would have done that. So things like that, just the egg roll cart. There's a cheeseburger egg roll or something that spring roll that's over. Oh, where is it? Toward Liberty Square, something, you know, something that direction.
Peter's a big fan of that egg roll cart. So
yeah. So they had just opened it back up. It had been closed through the COVID. And mm-hmm. So we had that, and that was good. You know, here's a tip. I as I was thinking back and making some notes to remind myself that, you know, what we did 4 months ago,
You should be awarded just for remembering 4 months ago. I struggle with remembering what happened.
Well, seriously, I've got, you know, that was last night was I wrote down things that I should have written down long before. But one of the things that I thought, oh, you know, here's a tip, and it's probably been said before, but it deserves saying again. And that is, if you are a DVC member, if you go into a merchandise store and you buy your Diet Coke from the cooler that they have there, you get your discount. If you buy from the vendor out, you know, on a cart outside, you don't get your discount. Mm-hmm. Go to the merchandise store and you do.
Great tip. And don't be afraid to show that, or at least mention it to everybody you purchase. Right. It doesn't hurt to say, do you have a DVC discount?
Right.
Because it's your money, you know?
Exactly. So
it's all good. Chris, can I ask you, do you get more enjoyment out of doing the things you love or to experience the new small things? Because you're a Walt Disney World veteran. I mean, you're a travel agent. You've gone to the College of Knowledge here, you know, for a travel agency. There's not a lot that I can put in front of you to say, hey, look at this cool thing. It's brand new. What do you really enjoy in a Walt Disney World vacation?
This is a cop-out answer, but a little bit of both, right? Like, I know that when I go to the Magic Kingdom, like I say, I know I wanted to go through the Haunted Mansion. I know that the Carousel of Progress is important to me, just the historical aspect of it, and maybe that 20 minutes out of the heat. And then, you know, so those things, I love seeing those. But I also, having been there more now, you take extra pleasure in finding the new things. And it might not be new at all, but it's new to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we spend more time every time we're at the parks, you know, looking at the windows on Main Street and just kind of observing. So it's, Chris, a little bit of both.
I get it. I just took my first ride in the Skyliner. Right.
Yeah, and exactly.
So I took my first ride in the Skyliner, and as I'm on the path, you know, you could see Spaceship Earth popping up over the head of World Showcase from the backside of World Showcase. And here I'm taking pictures like that, like 10 million people before me. And I'm like pointing to like nobody that I like the spaceship. There's no one to point to, but here I am, you know, and I've 300 episodes of a Disney podcast, you know, complete world, you know, so I completely get it.
Yeah.
It has to be a combination. If you said to me, you know what, I only like doing the things I've done before. I mean, it's going to get old and it's going to get repetitive and you're going to fall out of love with it. I want to see the new things. Well, I got news for you, kid. You've seen 93% of the things at Walt Disney World at any one time. So it has to be a combination. And that's what keeps it exciting for us too. And once you see the old again, well, wait a minute, they changed that, you know, or there's something new, you know? So I love the experience.
But that comfort of the consistency, like, you know, it like the back of your hand a little bit too. Mm-hmm. I think that's really what brought us as a couple to Walt Disney World is that Anne, she's kind of an introvert and she's not necessarily one of those that likes to just go exploring and not really know for sure what it is that this next day is going to bring. Mm-hmm. And so we honeymooned at Walt Disney World and she was pretty apprehensive about that. But then by the end of that trip, you know, it was like, yeah, we could go again. So this has become kind of just a comfortable spot. Like a lot of people in here in mid Missouri, especially, they'll head down to the Lake of the Ozarks. They'll have a cabin and that's just their getaway. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have a getaway that we can go to every weekend. So we save up and we make our, you know, big week splash at Walt Disney World. And that's our kind of like home away from home. That's where we feel comfortable because of the history that we have with it.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice. Let's move into this stage. So you had someone join you on vacation. They flew down a little bit later. No apprehension on their part for COVID, for touring a park. Had they experienced vacationing with you before, or this is the first time?
So, multiple questions there. So, mm-hmm. No apprehension based on discussions that they'd had with us. So they've really approached this last year very similar to the way we have, which is we've just been super cautious. Honestly, Chris, I've gone to restaurants here in town that had outdoor seating and I don't think I've been to an indoor seating restaurant in town for a year now. Mm-hmm. And they've kind of taken the same approach. And even when we've had them, this lady over for the most part, to our house, we sat out on the back deck and done those kind of things. So we've really tried to, kind of follow the guidelines. And so that was comfortable. Beth, is a longtime friend and was a co-owner of a business with us years ago. And, so a couple of years ago, we actually took a trip down to Walt Disney World with her for a week and didn't know how that'd go. You know, you never know. I think that it's interesting when you're making a trip with someone else by choice versus their family, we've got to get along. It's interesting, the dynamics and kind of the, you might be a little hesitant going into it, you know, will this work? And if it doesn't, how bad will it fail? And what, you know, will we still be friends when we walk away? Mm-hmm. Generally she's, more high energy than we are. And okay. So we weren't sure how that would go. And I think we were, you know, kind of candid about that with each other. We've known each other, you know, for so long. It's like we're family. And, but it went great. She loved the pace. She's normally the tour guide. Whenever she goes with somebody somewhere, it's almost always somewhere that she's been and she's leading the way. She said, I just, you make the decisions. You show me what you want. I trust you. So that was our first trip in 2018. And then, you know, by the end of that trip, she was like, well, I don't know when you're going again, but I'm sure you're not going to want me to go with you the next time. But, you know, as soon as you're ready for me to go again, I'd love to go.
Nice. That's sweet.
Yeah. And so, so we were like, yeah, let's get Beth down here. That's fun. And especially with a, you know, 2 weeks, essentially, maybe it would have been too long, you know, too much closeness just for Ann and I. I think it just gives you another person to talk with and to share things with and talk about whether it's, hey, did you know that they attach the shutters to the buildings, over here by Liberty Tree Tavern with leather, because this is, you know, goes back to the days of the revolution. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can tell these stories, and not have somebody looking back at you that says, yeah, I know, Chris, we talked about that last time. Remember?
Exactly. Chris, yeah. I want to stop you though for a second, because that's a valid concern for everybody who's listening. Everyone's planned the trip for their family, right? You know how your kids vacation, you know how your wife vacations. You just go away as a family. You guys do what the family does. But as soon as another dynamic enters the picture, as soon as another family, friend, brother, mother, it's like, okay, now we know how we do it. This is going to be either fabulous or a freaking nightmare. And we're going to regret it from the moment this happens. Chris, we're all signed up for this big gathering in July. We got right. 70 people coming for this. And I got to be honest. I am like to this day, I'm like, I hope this works out good, you know, because everybody on Facebook is just the sweetest, but people vacation differently. You know, people go, 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 go. People like me, I'm chill. Like when you say not experiencing the resorts, man, you could set me up for a week at a DVC resort. I might not even hit a park, but once or zero. And I'm completely cool with it, you know? So it'll all work out, I know, because in our hearts, everyone, you know, wants to be around each other. But valid point. I completely get your point about that.
Speaking of that, we've got, you know, these plans, right, for our for that Epcot family vacation. And I'm coming by myself because, again, my wife's more, you know, well, I'm probably more into the Disney community than she is. She's like, I love to go to Walt Disney World, but I'm probably not going to listen to podcasts. So, you know, and it's summer. And she said, I stopped teaching, so I didn't have to go there in summer. I'm not going. But I've got a friend. I'm talking to him. It was my best man. And, you know, when we got married, it's 30 years ago this year. And I said, you know, Patrick, you got to go down there with me too. You know, and maybe we'll, it's because honestly, I'm a little trip, you know, I'm a little
anxious
about that too, because it's like, well, they're mostly it's families that are going down, and mostly they're a little younger than I am. You know, most of the people on the list have kids in school and that age or such. So, I know we'll get together and I think we'll have a great time, but it's like, yeah, okay, you know, I don't know that people are going to want me necessarily tagging along for much. And I'm fine with that. I just, but at the same time, if I have somebody else down there with me too, that'll give us an opportunity, Patrick and I, to see how we vacation together, because even though he's my best man, we've never, for the last 20 years anyway, kind of gone on a trip together. So yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And you know what, though? I will say this, though. The people that we're going with as this community, I would trust any one of them with any decision I had to make, and they won't be more, they could be more welcoming than they are. So
yeah. Everybody's in that whole community.
Such just, a sweetheart.
They're all great. Yeah.
All right. So you got your friend, Beth, she joined you, mm-hmm. and she's completely up to your park touring method. She bought a 4-day, a 5-day, a 3-day. What kind of pass did she get? And how long did she stay, Chris?
Well, she stayed for the rest of the trip. So she arrived on a Saturday. We left the following Saturday. Okay. So she got a 7-day ticket.
7-day ticket.
Very yeah. Good.
So she hit up the parks every single day. And she, at that point, she also stayed at the boardwalk in Bay Lake. She transferred when you guys transferred, or was she a different?
Yeah. No, she actually, we just got a 1-bedroom and she folded out that couch and
she crashed with you.
Yeah, she did. So, awesome. Yeah. So that was the way we handled that part of the stay. And yeah, it was very nice. Like I say, we kind of mesh up with our speed and our interests and our attitude and all of that. And so that was awesome. And it was Food and Wine Festival. And
nice.
There was definitely a lot of just walking around and casually snacking here and there. And they had the festival center set up. So that was our first day that she was there. We actually went over to Epcot in the morning. She flew in the afternoon. We kind of crashed for a while because I'd kind of told you a longer story, but it had been a very stressful time for mm-hmm. Beth leading into this trip. We weren't even sure she was going to be able to fit in everything she needed to do in her work and personal life to make it happen. And even up to the night before, she wasn't sure. And so when she got there, she was at her very last thread. And so we met there in the board at the boardwalk and crashed in the lobby for a while. And she kind of got a second wind. And we headed back over to Epcot and we spent some time at the festival center and had, you know, they have lobster mac and cheese. Somehow or another, mac and cheese seems to fall into the conversation, you know, at least every other day. So yeah, that was great. And we had dinner then at Trattoria Al Forno.
Okay.
Here on the boardwalk, which gotcha. We really like. We've always enjoyed it. Fairly easy to get into. Maybe without reservations. We usually try to go ahead and make our reservations. And we were there till late. We had some pizza and I had bolognese and scallops we thought we were the last in the restaurant. It turned out there were another few couples in the next room over. And okay. So we weren't actually holding them up as we thought that we were, but, it was a nice day. As you can see, you know, I'm not really, talking much about the attractions, but, they're all there and they're right where they were, right where we left them the last time. So, you know, we have a good time with that too. But, you know,
Chris, it's funny though, how attractions can be the highlight of the trip when your kids are young, but then Walt Disney World morphs as you move on and the kids don't come with and you meet somebody else. And what is the in? Is the in the food? Because clearly that was an emphasis because you guys ate well. You know, is your spouse into golf? Are you into jogging? Are you, you know, what is the in? It doesn't have to be the attractions. That's what people wonder, because that ticket cost outside of the, you know, the obvious stay and the, you know, the Disney travel tax, they tack on tack. You know, the parks are the most expensive thing. So, but it doesn't have to be. You can go cheap. You know, and I use air quotes, at Walt Disney World, even if you have kids. So I appreciate that wasn't. What was Beth's experience Was it only the trip in 2018 and now, or was she a Walt Disney World fan or just a Chris Young fan, so to speak, you know? So,
yeah. So certainly she's heard a lot through us, right? When we're visiting and talking about our experiences. And I think that that's, you know, intrigued her. I believe that she'd gone once or twice, maybe with one day at Epcot, in the past, with her now ex-husband. And that was just around business trips. You know, you've got a conference that you're going to stay at some hotel on property. And then they say, okay, this evening you've got the availability to go to Epcot. Here's a ticket. And so that was, I think, her experience. I don't believe she'd ever made it to the Magic Kingdom.
Superficial then. Very, right. Very. Okay.
And even from a standpoint of, was she one of these kids that, you know, as a child grew up and everything had to be Disney, or she's as an adult watched all of the Disney movies? Nope. Yeah. That's not her. You know, I'm sure she knew, and remembered a couple of those, you know, classic Disney classic movies, but, that wasn't her experience. And, yet she got down there, and I remember this was 2018, but it kind of, repeated itself in last year. She got down there, and just by chance, we've kind of got a strategy for our touring, especially during the time that you could get the fast passes, got a strong strategy for touring, the Magic Kingdom. And it starts with, getting your fast passes, but then going in and grabbing some rides early on, like just some other rides early on.
Easy pickoff rides that you can. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so one of them was, and the first one on this particular day, I think it was the first one, was the Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Okay.
And you'd have thought she'd struck gold. She was so excited. Okay. She was so happy about that. She said, could we go on it again? Oh, well, of course, man. at this point, there's no one. Like, we might have still been the only ones that had been on the ride by the time that the ride was over. And she was saying that, and the cast member that was at the loading, I don't know, one or the other, unloading or loading, said, just come on through. You know, she's like, we don't even have to walk through that long line again. Awesome. She thought it was like the most magical thing. So again, this year, she was so excited by something like, you know, Little Mermaid, that probably is not high on most people's lists of the top attractions that they see, but she was just mesmerized by, you know, everything going on. There's a lot of visual, you know, there's a lot of visual stuff to look at in
here. Heck yeah. And it probably elevated that ride in your mind. Just seeing how it just completely revealed itself to a new person.
I would say that you asked, you know, what was exciting about this trip? Was it, you know, our top favorite things or seeing something new? And really, the both of the trips with Beth have been greatly enhanced by seeing things through new eyes.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. I could imagine, too, if you're a brand new person to the Magic Kingdom, and you had probably seen The Little Mermaid, let's be honest, it's one of the biggest films out there as far as, and you saw Ursula, you know, and her flexible purple skin, and you see, you know, the music scene. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You may not get the historical significance of the Haunted Mansion or something, but like the mermaid, oh my gosh, it's like, you know, between the sights and the sounds, it's pretty intense, I guess, you know.
And the jet, you know, yeah, exactly.
Outstanding. Give me a highlight of, give me something at each park that you were able to look at with new eyes. Eliminate the mermaid, but give me something at each one that maybe Beth enhanced for you that may have got you I never thought of it that way. And now you like think of it fondly. I'll give you my example. My son went to the Hall of Presidents when he was like 8 or 9. And I was like, he is going to hate this. He loved it. He loved the Hall of Presidents. I've always loved the Hall of Presidents, but I could tell somebody, you're going to watch a history lesson for the next 23 minutes. Enjoy it, kid. But he loved it. And it was like, so now I think fondly of the Hall of Presidents, you know, and I watch a YouTube video and you see the president go, you know, John Quincy Adams, and he moves his hand and it makes me laugh. And I think so warmly of it, you know. Right. Give me something for each park that you revisited.
That we experienced new this time. Oh my gosh.
Um, Or I could phrase this by saying, what did Beth really appreciate in each park? What was the one thing she really...
Let's go with that. I think that I could probably answer that better. I think that if we start in Magic Kingdom, I think that Fantasyland was probably her, may have been her favorite. I think it was probably an appreciation for the classic side of that. Mm-hmm. And her her dad had worked in the Skunk Works back during World War II. So he was in the L.A. area. Okay. And so because he had friends that were worked for Disney, I think he had some Disney artwork, or at least there was some discussions in the family as she grew up about connections to Disney. Mm-hmm. And so I think that kind of made her maybe gave her a sense of a connection. Okay. There as well. Epcot. I think Soarin' has been something that she's talked about multiple times since 2018. So like from an attraction standpoint, I would say that Soarin' is, high on her list. And then the World Showcase is really probably, if she had to choose between Future World and World Showcase, probably even Future World in its full glory.
Grandeur, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She'd probably still pick World Showcase, and a little bit of the food, a little bit of the kind of looking around. There's so many crannies that you can get in there and look, and you'll find little museums and things that you just didn't even know were there. Mm-hmm. Tile work that's gorgeous, and so things like that. So I would say that was probably that. Disney's Hollywood Studios, she's a Star Wars fan. And I think that was probably the Batuu in general,
just a level of completeness,
right? Mm-hmm. And I would, my unpopular opinion for the day is that, and I don't think it was just about the hype, I think it was just about the way it felt for us. Rise of the Resistance and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, we were like, meh. I loved the technical, like Rise of the Resistance was kind of like a technical marvel, the sets and all of those things, but just, I don't know what it was. It was just okay for me. And I thought, I could do without that line. If I went back to Disney Hollywood Studios and didn't do either one of those, it'd be okay.
Okay.
And I don't think that most people have it,
that's okay.
That attitude at all.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Animal Kingdom. Well, she's an animal lover in the first place. She's cat rescue. So there was a time that I remember specifically her rescuing baby possums from a mom that had been hit by a car.
Okay.
And using little bottles with whatever kind of milk you need for possums to nurse them. And she thought they were so cute. She'd say, I'm going to stay away from the mic. She said, they're just so cute. They look up at you and go, I was like, well, you and I have a different opinion about what sounds cute, but okay. Yeah. So anyway, Animal Kingdom though, is a great place for somebody who's, an animal, compassionate toward animals. So
what was her favorite park? Cause I'm thinking you might say Animal Kingdom here.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. I think it might still have been, probably Epcot. Okay. Yeah, probably Epcot.
It's hard to argue. It's a half a mile street festival bar, quick service food option. It's really hard to argue that. Well, themed, yeah. So, okay. Did she enjoy the boardwalk or Bay Lake Tower more?
Again, we do a poor job of experiencing the resorts, mm-hmm. right?
But one's lively and one's subdued. So
yeah, that's true. I would say that the biggest reaction that we got out of her was Bay Lake Tower.
Wow.
We had a lake view room. So I'm trying to think of the positioning. I think so we were facing kind of south, which meant that the Contemporary, as we looked out our window or, you know, off our balcony, the Contemporary was off to the right. We could see the monorail running. We could look past the monorail and see Epcot. All right. Excuse me. We could look past the monorail and see the Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
Mostly just like Main Street. Mm-hmm. See a couple of Main Street and then Splash Mountain, I think. But we could also look on the horizon and see every one of the three, each of the other three theme parks. Mm. We could see the Tree of Life at the Animal Kingdom.
And you were high then, huh?
And yeah, we were 12th floor.
Okay. Okay.
And so we could see the Tree of Life at the, there we could see, and we could see, Expedition Everest. Then you could see
the tower.
Spaceship Earth, and you could see the tower, mm-hmm. all from that one view. Cool. And that was pretty neat, honestly, along with the monorail running and, you know, seeing down over the lake, you see the pool area. It was just, it was not technically a theme park view, but I don't think there's very many other places in Walt Disney World where you can stand and you can see you can look out and see every one of the four parks.
Chris, it was a complete park view is what you got. You know what I mean?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah. So that's awesome. You know, you never think of Bay Lake Tower like that. I've never stayed, but you always think of Bay Lake Tower as, okay, it's probably well furnished, little light in amenities because you got to walk over the Sky Bridge to get down to, you know, the Contempo Cafe, but the convenience factor of walking out of bed, oh, that's so nice. But you know, you never think about it as you get the right choice, you get the right view, you get the right height, and you get everything, you know, so it's pretty impressive. You don't get that at Copper Creek. You don't get that at Boulder Ridge. You don't get that at the Polynesian. You know, Polynesian, you got really one of a few views. You're going to get a, you know, inside courtyard view type thing, or you're going to see the Magic Kingdom. That's it. You don't even have a chance to see beyond, you know. So, yeah, really, really cool. I guess I never thought about it that way. What was your favorite resort amongst the stay? You said, I mean, you gave me three different options, and I'm going to circle back to this. You had to pick one now. This was your stay, complete entirety for based on your food, your location. You only get one. You picked all three separately earlier, but what was your number one?
Based on the fact that it was my first time there, so if I was to go back, it would only be my second time. I'd stay at the Poly, and I'd try to spend some more time at the pool and, you know, kind of hanging out at the just enjoying life a little bit there. And truly this trip did confirm to us that, yeah, we could take a park-free trip to Walt Disney World. That was something we'd talked about in the past. It's like, how could you possibly do that? You know, I mean, mm-hmm. you get that close and then you're not going to go into the parks, but we walked out saying, yeah, you could do that. You could just say, you know, this resort is our destination, just like, you know, any other beach resort or something like that. And I'd say Poly though, to answer your question.
That would be almost cruel and unusual punishment though, if you had young kids. Kids, here's a Polynesian. Look across the lake. It is the most fabulous, wonderful theme park in the history of man. We're not going to go. I'm sorry.
They should, you're right. No, they should lock you up for
right? child. That's not cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, Chris, honestly, all these things you did here, even with the new experiences in the restaurants and the three resorts, I mean, that's an awesome experience for a travel agent. So, I mean, if you got questions, you just did it recently on a trip. So, and in a pandemic. So I appreciate that. Before we're done, I want to ask you about your experiences at MCO, because people are still, I think people traveling right now are cool with the fact that they can go on vacation safely, you know, for the most part at Walt Disney World. But it's the travel to and from that gets people with the EBGBs. Because, I mean, when you're at MCO, you're just going to come off bad. You're with the general population. And people inherently will do what people are going to do at the easiest points, you know. So what would it feel like at MCO, Orlando International Airport, and like the travel to and from?
Arriving, we felt the same kind of a sense of like safety and security that we expected to have when we got to the theme parks. It really wasn't bad. And we, I don't know if it was the time of day or the day of the week that we arrived. It was not all that crowded, and everybody seemed to be, again, the word compliant seems to have a negative connotation, but compliant with the requests of the, you know.
It was a Monday, though.
That was a Monday. Mm-hmm. On the way out.
Saturday.
Where most of the travelers, I think, were, you know, tourism kind of travelers. And they were leaving their week of mask wearing.
Okay.
It was a little more lax, we'll say. Seemed to, and it was just a busier, airport on our way out too. So that was, I remember specifically Anne commenting, you know, that she was a little uncomfortable at a couple points there. And then by the time we got back to Kansas City, people just weren't wearing their masks, and you know, there were some things like that going on, but you know, it was late at night on a Saturday night, so that it wasn't, we could keep our distance.
Gotcha. Yeah. Did you view Orlando as a more, well, I don't want to say safe, that's the wrong term, but risk averse airport than Kansas City? Because when I fly out of Midway in Chicago, you know, Illinois still has this mask mandate, but when I've flown into Tampa, when I flown into Orlando, it's holding its own, despite the fact that Governor Ron DeSantis is like, oh, we don't need to have masks and people will do that, you know, but the airports are holding their own as far as making you feel safe. Midway, I think, might be a little stronger because we still have a mask mandate and our governor's like, you're wearing a mask, you know, I don't care, wear a mask, you know. So, but how do you feel in terms of your own personal airport in terms of that into MCO?
Yeah, I mean, I think MCO is doing a better job.
Gotcha.
Kansas City, again, we flew in late at night, and it is an airport that's broken up into multiple terminals that are all, at least until the new terminal is built, there's three separate terminals that are all like shaped like a circle practically.
Okay.
And so literally, long walks. It's almost like if you were at the Animal Kingdom Lodge and you wanted to get from one end of the savannah, you know, to the other, you go all the way around a three-quarter circle. And so at 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night, you don't honestly see that many security other than those, you know, at gates or things like that. So
yeah,
it was kind of like everybody is going to make their own choice about what they're going to do. And at that point, there were just a lot more that were making choices that maybe I wouldn't have.
Okay. And this is back in November at this point. So time
it was out like literally then. as we were leaving to go down there, case numbers were blossoming and they were like, here it comes, you know? So we were really in the midst of kind of some of the worst of what we've seen to this point.
Cool. Let me ask you for one last thing. Describe this trip. And you didn't even know this was coming, so you're going to take a second here. I'm sure you'll be like, oh, man. Give me three words to describe this trip, Chris.
I'm going to throw you off with one of them.
Okay.
Reset.
Nice.
Home.
Okay.
And the last one was, well, I need to come up with a word. Yeah, because
I love the reset version, Chris, too.
We'll say surprising connection.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You know what? And that's what, like, we don't make a cent from Disney, you know, whatnot, but it's what the reset does for you is it allows you to reestablish the connections and whatnot. So, I love it. You know, and I've been down there just recently myself, and it does, it allows you just to rethink, you know, and come away clear, you know, with stuff. So I do appreciate that. Chris, how could people contact you if they got a question on Bay Lake, on Boardwalk, on Poly, on the Trattoria, on anything? Traveling with a new person, you know, that may have a different, give me the best way.
Okay. So. Yeah. We've traveled with new, I've been in a group of 11, with people with disabilities. I'm happy to talk to anyone that would like to chat. You can get to me at my Facebook page. It's probably the easiest way to reach me. And that's at facebook.com/MVP, Magical Vacation Planner, MVP Chris Young. So facebook.com/MVP Chris Young.
Exactly. And Chris, you're part of the EDCOT group too, as well, too. So you communicate there as
EDCOT,
well.
I've got my, personal page on Facebook. So
outstanding. And I will say that, Chris, you and I have chatted through direct message, and I always love the conversations because they're never, these are always like, hey, I've got an idea. Let's explore it. And before you know it, we'll get 2 days of ideas back and forth, So I love the
follow through on those someday too.
Right. We've got another few shows that Chris and I have debated and make no mistake. They're lofty ideas. So we're going to have a couple more good shows in the near future. I think we're good for today, buddy. You, a trip report, when I record trip reports, sometimes the trip report is things that I can't relate to, but hearing ones that okay, I'm a little apprehensive about meeting somebody and, it was completely, interesting. I loved hearing it today. Nice. So thank you for sharing it today, buddy.
I enjoyed being here.
All right. So if you've listened this long, we would appreciate it if you can give us a review. Go to your podcast catcher of choice and leave us a review. And again, if you have any questions for Chris, Chris is at Magical Vacation Planner, and easiest way, facebook.com, MVP Chris Young, or you can find myself, Stacy, Michael, Peter, or a whole gaggle of wonderful, supportive people at EDCOT. So for listening today, we appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody.
Take care.